And this evening, as we continue in on our series of marks of the New Testament church and think about evangelism, I want to do that in the context of what it is to run after God first and foremost, to give your life to love him and to see others join in as you run that race towards him. Now, in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, we see many people becoming Christians, being saved, hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. In large numbers, we read about thousands coming to Christ as the gospel is preached. But we also read about smaller gatherings, about households being saved. But as well as these smaller gatherings, we also read about individuals encountering Christ. And in Acts chapter 8, in our passage for this evening, so I just encourage you to have it open with you. In Acts chapter 8, we read about a man who also ran after God, but also ran alongside someone who was searching for God. We have a beautiful example of the power of the gospel at work. And this evening, as we've been talking about evangelism, and as it was mentioned at the beginning that we're looking at evangelism, some of you might have sat there and just thought, oh, evangelism, this is just not for me. And I do believe that some are specifically called to be evangelists, that it is a gift that is given, an anointing for some to be evangelists. And our prayer that is this evening that there will be those gathered on this call who know that conviction that they are called to be an evangelist. And we pray that God would fan that gift into flame by his Spirit. But that doesn't leave everyone else to just watch from the sidelines. We are all called to bear witness to the love of God in Christ Jesus, to be part of fulfilling the Great Commission, to make disciples of all the nations. And few people receive direct revelation from God in becoming a Christian. Most people, their journey towards him is through the witness of others. I know for my journey, there was one girl who brought me along to St. Aldate's when I was a student, where I encountered Jesus. But leading up to that time, there had actually been many others along the way that had just shared Jesus in different ways or invited me to come to church at different points. And the Bible is very clear that some will sow and others reap. And as we've heard through the stories this evening as well, these beautiful testimonies of people being used by God in different ways, some just being available in the workplace, others intentionally looking for opportunities to share. We're all called to be part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Simon, in his Thought for the Day last week, I encourage you to check it out online on taking the gospel to the nations. He said this, he said, "The greatest kindness we can do is to share the loving kindness of Christ and bring people into a relationship with him that will last into eternity." So I want to look at this passage in the remaining time we have together this evening of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and see what lessons we can learn about individual witness and how we can come alongside people and lead them closer to Jesus. So beginning with verse 26, we read, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to the road that comes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.'" So just setting a little bit of context, Philip, if you remember, earlier on in the book of Acts, Philip was a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was commissioned by the apostles to help with the practical needs of caring for the widows, for the poor, of helping distribute food. So he was a practical guy. But he's also a man that knew God, that was close to him and was used by him in a mighty way. We read earlier in chapter 8 how he's been preaching and seeing many people come to know Jesus and signs and wonders that are accompanying that. They're seeing these large crowds, there's amazing things going on around him. But in the story that follows that, I think that specifically Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, wants us to see this individual encounter, that not only is he someone that's ministering to the crowds, but he will leave the crowds to go after the one. Philip has left what is almost like a revival going on here in Samaria, and to be sent by God to go to a desert place. He's available to be used by God to go after the one. J. John, a famous evangelist you might have heard of, he once said that the Greek for go is in fact go. We are all called to go and to be part of seeing God's work here on earth. And throughout scripture, we see just amazing examples of the Lord time and time again sending people. You might not necessarily be called to go physically to the other side of the world, but we are all called to be part of making disciples of the nations. And in our current context, it is frustrating as we're not able to meet in the same way we would normally like to be meeting. But there are opportunities, I believe, like never before, to share the love of Christ in different ways, be that online or being led by the Spirit in different ways. Philip was a man who knew God, but was also willing to go. He was available to be used by him. So he's available to God, and he's been led and followed in obedience to this desert place. He rose and went. And so the question is then, who did he meet? Well, we read then in verse 27, he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official, someone of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. So he's in what seems perhaps like an unlikely place, meeting what we might consider an unlikely convert. But this is exactly the way Jesus does it. He smashes through the divides. We might try and put people in boxes. Oh, someone like that would never become a Christian. That we sort of see people with our own eyes, but not as God sees them. We heard about that earlier, as Paul described a work colleague, someone who you wouldn't have expected to have a conversation about God with. But this is the way Jesus does it. He sends us to people. And this man is also a man of different race and nationality. Here we have Philip, a Middle Eastern man, sharing the gospel with a man from Ethiopia. You know, so much still to be, there still needs to be done in the face of racial injustice and things that are being exposed and coming to light. But here we just have this beautiful example of the power of the gospel to cross boundaries, the boundaries that we so often put people in and who might be willing to share the gospel, to receive the gospel. You know, Christ, he crossed the greatest divide. He entered into this world to set us free from sin. He just transcends every political, cultural, racial barrier, you name it. He is the only way to God, but he has opened the way for all to come to him. So we see in this interaction that follows between Philip and the Ethiopian man, the way that he engages with this man who is searching. I love in verse 29 and then 30, it says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. And then it says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And I love this image of Philip quite literally running alongside this chariot and asking this having this conversation. I was trying to think what might be the equivalent of that today. And I could think of the rowing boats that you see going down and then someone cycling alongside as the coach, perhaps is a bit like that, sort of coming alongside them. But I think in other ways it is perhaps more like journey alongside people. But the thing to remember is also that running can be hard work. Running is not something that is necessarily always easy. And like we've said earlier, some will sow, others reap. And for some of you this evening, you might be journeying alongside people for a really long time, longing for them to come to know Jesus. But don't give up. Keep on praying, keep on loving, keep on walking alongside those that don't know Jesus. You just never know how close they might be to encountering him, close to entering into his kingdom. So that's the first thing we see that Philip does. He runs alongside him. But then secondly, we read that he asks a question. And it was common at the time for scripture to be read out loud. So here's this man reading the prophet Isaiah. And he, instead of just sort of pouncing on him, he asks a question. He engages in a conversation. This is a very spiritual encounter. He's been led by the Spirit to meet this man in the desert. But he also engages with him on a very human, normal level. He just simply asks him, do you know what you're reading? And through this opportunity, he's able to enter into a spiritual conversation. And Alpha, we've seen, is an amazing tool for these kinds of conversations, for people to ask questions, to explore faith. But as we've heard also this evening, there are many other ways that we can engage in these kinds of conversations. And I just encourage you to be praying for opportunities to share. But we see that through asking this question, it also builds a bridge. It builds a relationship with this man, and he's invited into the chariot to continue the conversation. It opens a door to the man's heart. He has sensitivity and wisdom, but he's also not afraid to go deeper and engage in a spiritual conversation. So Philip is a man who's close to God. He's willing to go, and he also asks good questions. But not only that, he doesn't leave it there. He brings Jesus into the conversation. He shares Jesus. I'm sure if the Ethiopian man, when Philip had engaged with the conversation with him, had said, actually, do you know what, mate, I'm all right. I'm sure he would have left him alone. But after he's invited in, he doesn't waste this opportunity. He picked up where the man was reading in Isaiah chapter 53, and he uses this passage as a framework to share the gospel, to share about who Jesus is, the fulfillment of this passage. He uses scripture to share the good news of Jesus. And this is evangelism. It's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we go. And sometimes we can be fearful or find things overcomplicated, but quite simply, what we're called to do is introduce people to Jesus. He's the only good news that we really truly have. It's in his forgiveness that people are set free. It's by his power that people are released. It's through his love that people can find healing and joy, and it's through his victory that we can find hope. As it says in this scripture, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, Jesus is the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. It's through his death and resurrection that we can receive new life. And the word has power, the words we speak, and the word itself, as scripture is being shared, it has power to unlock people's hearts to the good news of Jesus Christ. Earlier this week, I had the privilege of seeing a girl give her life to Jesus on Zoom in an Alpha group. She was available and she wanted to know him. And it's amazing that actually it was a verse of scripture that was shared about the hope that we have in Jesus from Hebrews. That she said when that verse was shared in the context of the conversation, it was like a moment of the light coming on. She realized that that was what she wanted. And through that opportunity, she was then able to open the door of her heart to Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to learn scriptures, to have them close to your heart, to be able to share them with people who are open to Jesus. It's an incredible thing to be able to read the Bible with someone, to walk alongside them. And I want to share that for me, actually, I think after coming to All Dates for the first time, there was a girl who then met with me regularly to read the Gospels. And that was such an important part of my journey of coming to know Jesus, of someone walking alongside me and reading the scriptures with me. And you know, as a community, we're praying for revival. We're longing to see people encounter Christ. But I also believe that that means we also need to be willing to go along the journey with them, to be available to open up the scriptures to them, to walk with them as they encounter him. And this is an incredible privilege that we all get to be part of. And just finally to Lan, we see that this man not only hears about the good news of Jesus Christ, but he responds to it. He says, "What's standing in the way of me being baptized?" He sees this water. And we pray that we'd see many people asking that same question. We'd see many people being able to be baptized. Vince Vitale, who some of you will know, he's works for an organization that is all about sharing the gospel and equipping people to do that. And he was a member of this church. And he once said something that's really stuck with me. He said that so often we can be really good at telling people about this awesome party, but actually never get around to inviting them into the party. And sometimes we can be quite British about it. And of course, we want to be sensitive and winsome in the way that we share the love of Christ. But we're not to be apologetic in giving people the opportunity to respond to the incredible gift of salvation. There's so much more that could be said about this, and it happens differently for different people. But quite simply, we can be all part of seeing people come closer to Christ and to open the door of their heart to him. We are in the midst of a global crisis that can seem so overwhelming, the many needs that are in front of us, but the gospel still has the power. It is the hope of the world. And many people today are turning to Christ. I mentioned at the beginning about Eric Liddell, about him running after God. And something else he said is this. He said, "It's been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I've been a young lad, I've had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each of us is in a greater race than I have ever run. And this race ends with God. He is the one that gives out the medals." Running after God, fixing our eyes on him and seeing others come to know him, that's the great prize. Jesus is the vision. It's not about burning out, running after him, but there is an urgency in recognizing that we're living for eternity, not just what we see before us. And in the spiritual battle that we're all involved in, the greatest spiritual warfare that I believe we can do is to preach the gospel and to lead someone to Christ. There's no greater joy than seeing someone come to know him. And wherever you're at this evening, whether you're still exploring faith or you've been a Christian a really long time, you are all invited to join in with sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We've talked about it a bit at the beginning of this time on Zoom about Reunion Sunday, about the time when we all get to be together. But also that being a reflection again of eternity, of the Sunday when we all get together before the throne in heaven, of not necessarily knowing what we got to be part of on this side of eternity, but one day as we see Jesus face to face, of seeing men and women from all over the world, from different tribe and tongue, gathering before the throne, worshipping him. And that is what we're part of, sowing seeds and being available to God. So So let me pray this evening before we worship and respond, and there'll be an opportunity for more prayer. But let's pray together. Jesus, you are the vision that we are running for. We thank you that you are the one who came into this world to set us free, to save us from death and to bring us home. And I pray now by your Spirit that you would burn in our hearts a desire for you and for your gospel and for others to come to know you. I thank you that you've made each of us differently and you've called us in different ways to share your love. But I thank you that you delight in seeing your children bring others to know you. So I pray that by your Spirit this evening, that you would break off fear, that you would break off anything that might be hindering us from running the race, from pursuing you and having the joy of seeing others come to know you. For your glory, Jesus. Amen.